Pranam, loving greetings to each one of you who is here in this beautiful Kanha Shantivanam Ashram for this 5-day special Sangam. And also a very warm welcome to each one of you who is joining us via live stream from all parts of India and the world. And also to those who will be watching this video later on. Warm greetings. Welcome to each one of you. The subject for our class today is tapping into the inner source of strength and wisdom through meditation. It's a very vast subject. And what I would like to do today is spend the first 40 minutes of this class talking about the subject, discussing the subject with all of you. And then the last 20 minutes we will spend in a guided meditation, practicing some of the things that we discuss in the talk. I would like this to be a practical class where we can immediately apply some of the things that we will be discussing. So before we begin, I know all of you have had lunch just an hour or so ago. You probably want to take a nap at this time. So, in order to energize ourselves for this talk, I would like to request all of us to practice a little tension and relaxation exercise that Guruji has taught us to awaken prana in the body and to invigorate our minds. So if you would like to join me, inhale deeply through your nose, hold the breath, tense the whole body, with a double exhalation, release the breath and relax the whole body. Let's do this a few more times. Tense, hold. Inhale, tense, hold. One last time, inhale. All right, before Guruji used to begin his talks in America, he would always begin with a question: how feels everyone? And for those of you who are new, we would always expect the audience to answer loud and clear, awake and ready. And until he heard that clear response, he would not begin his talk. So I'm going to ask all of you, how feels everyone? You can do a little better. How feels everyone? That's it. Great. You know, most people in this world live very chaotic lives without a clear sense of direction and purpose. And perhaps all of us or most of us lived that way until we came to the spiritual path, until we found Guruji's teachings. And in the YSS SRF lessons, Guruji shares a hypothetical story in the chaotic life and the chaotic day of a businessman. And I'm going to read the story to you to illustrate this point of how most people lead their lives, even though the setting of the story is from about 75 or so years ago. The principles that the story illustrates applies even to this day. And we can, in our minds, modify the story to the current day and age. So Guruji says, talking of this hypothetical businessman, he gulps down an inadequate breakfast, hurries to his office, and sits at a desk littered with papers that mutely shriek, unfinished business. He picks up one or two letters and glances at them. You know, in today's day and age, it could be just emails, right? Or WhatsApp messages or whatever tools we use like Slack or Teams to keep track of our day-to-day work. In those days, they used, you know, paper. So he says he picks up one or two letters and glances at them, but before his mind has formulated any replies, he glimpses the appointment pad on his desk and realizes that he must decide on a course of procedure before he talks with Mr. Blank. So the appointment pad today would be your email, Outlook calendar, or your Google calendar, or some place where you maintain your appointments. Guruji continues, he tries to concentrate on this problem, meaning the problem of having to discuss this procedure with Mr. Blank. However, his mind keeps reverting to the letters just put aside and wants to mull over those problems instead. The din of his secretary's typewriter annoys him. They used typewriters in those days, but today you can imagine maybe the secretary is on a Zoom call loudly talking to some of his or her colleagues on the other side. He shouts at her to stop. A moment later, he realizes that she's typing on a rush assignment he gave her. So he shouts at her to go on again. To calm himself, he begins smoking his after-breakfast cigar. This brings to mind another problem. He tells himself that he should be firm in his determination to quit smoking. Ragged nerves tug at the sleeve of his conscience, and he finally dashes the cigar into an ashtray. At this inopportune moment, the secretary brings over a pile of letters to be signed. The boss, unreasonably upset at the intrusion, angrily banishes her to the outer office. He tries to concentrate on his problem once more, but the pieces won't go together. His ineffectual struggle makes him sleepy, and he dozes off in disgust at his inability to work out a solution. This is his first comfortable moment, so he quietly drifts into deeper slumber. His secretary returns, jolting him back to consciousness just in time for his important appointment with Mr. Blank. But in as much as he has failed to map out a plan, he talks haphazardly all around the subject, gives the impression that he is only an ineffectual bluffer, and the deal he had hoped for falls through. Guruji goes on to say, lack of concentration and resultant calm, intuition, guided action is a major cause of failure in every department of life. By practicing the scientific art of concentration and deep meditation taught by Yogda Satsang Society of India Self-Realization Fellowship, learn to harness the success-giving power and wisdom of God to all your actions. I'll read that sentence again. By practicing the scientific art of concentration and deep meditation taught by YSS SRF, learn to harness the success-giving power and wisdom of God to all your actions. Perhaps we can all relate to this hapless businessman, because at some point or another in our lives, we have felt that way. And perhaps on some days, even now, we feel to some degree that way. Especially before coming to the spiritual path, we have all felt very restless, frustrated, lacking a sense of direction and purpose in life, just going along with what everyone else is doing. Now, unfortunately, most people in the world seek for this permanent sense of security, contentment, strength, wisdom, joy in outer things. And we know that we cannot find permanence in impermanent things of this world. That is why we are all sitting here today, because we have come to that realization to some degree. I'll share a little story with you. There was this drunken man who was searching for his something under a street light. After some time, a policeman happened to walk by and he asked this drunken man, "What are you looking for?" And the man said, "I lost my keys. I'm looking for these keys." So the policeman started searching for the keys along with the drunken man. When they did not find the keys, the policeman asked the man, "Are you sure you lost the keys over here?" And the drunk man said, "Well, no, I actually lost the keys in the park." So the policeman said, "Why are you looking for the keys here?" And the drunk man said, "Well, that's because there is light over here." So that's how most people in this world are. They look for this permanent joy, happiness, security, contentment where the light is, in outer things of this world. Name, fame, possession, wealth, outer success and so forth. And we know that all of these things are not wrong in of themselves. It is just that when we anchor our happiness on those external conditions, we will never find permanent joy and happiness and security in those things. It's actually this story that I just shared is used by researchers. It actually has a name. It's called the streetlight effect. And it's an observational bias of searching for things where it is easiest to look. We don't want to do the hard work. But we all know that we have to look for permanence in the right place. Where? Inside. We have to go within to find permanent happiness, peace, joy, security. Now, practice of the scientific teachings, the scientific meditation techniques, and the How to Live teachings as taught in Gurudeva Paramahansa Yogananji's teachings anchors us in an inner security so that we can guide our life by wisdom. I'll share a little story that appeared in the Yogada magazine and the Self-Realization magazine some years ago. There was an old monk who was going on pilgrimage in the mountains. He was traveling alone. And as he walked, he became very thirsty. So he stopped by a little brook, a little stream of water that was flowing by, to fill his little canister, his bottle, with water. As he bent over to fill his bottle, he saw some very shiny object in the water. So he reached in and picked it up. And to his surprise, it was a small piece of pure gold. It was a gold nugget. So he put the nugget in his bag and kept walking. After some time, he met another pilgrim coming in the opposite direction. And it was a young man, and the man said to the monk, "Sir, I have been walking for many hours and have not eaten anything. Do you have some food to share with me? Because I have a long journey ahead." So the monk said, "Yes, I do." So they both sat down. The monk opened his bag. He took out a loaf of bread that he had to share with this fellow pilgrim. And as he pulled out the bread, this gold nugget that was in his bag also fell out of his bag and fell on the ground. And the monk casually picked it up and put it back in his bag. And this young man who saw this, he wistfully spoke to the monk saying that, "Oh, you're so lucky, you know, you found this gold and your life is set. You know, you have all the security, whatever you want to buy," and all of that. And after some time they spoke and they got up and parted ways. Well, before they parted ways, the monk reached into his bag, took out the gold nugget, and placed it into the hand of the stranger. And the young man couldn't believe his good fortune. He said, "Oh gosh, thank you so much, you're very kind." And they parted ways. And as this man was walking away, he was dreaming of all the things he wanted to do with the money that he was going to get by selling this gold. And he was dreaming about all these good things he wanted to do in life. And all of a sudden, he halted in his tracks. He turned around and ran in search of this monk. He finally caught up with him. He knelt at the feet of this older devotee, and he placed the gold nugget in the monk's hand. And the monk said, "Don't you want the gold?" And the young man said, "No, sir. I want what is within you that enabled you to give me this gold," without a second thought. So what riches did this devotee possess that he could just part away with this fortune just like that without even giving it a second thought? It is that inner security, contentment, love of God, peace, joy, happiness that each one of us is seeking. And those can be developed through the regular practice of the meditation teachings given by our Gurudev. So the title of the talk is, as I said in the beginning, Tapping into the Inner Source of Strength and Wisdom through Meditation. So what is this inner source of strength and wisdom? It is God. God is that source. Guruji often uses the analogy of the ocean and the waves, right? He says, God is the ocean and all of us as his children are the waves. Close your eyes for a minute and visualize the ocean and the waves. Perhaps all of us have had the opportunity at some point in our lives to stand on the beach, looking at the waves lapping on the seashore. So visualize that in your mind's eye, the massive ocean and these little waves coming onto the seashore. You can open your eyes. Guruji says, God is that ocean and we are those little waves. And as you see, the waves are always connected to the ocean. Each wave has the entire power of the ocean behind it. But when the wave forgets that it has the ocean behind it, that it is connected to this infinite power, that is when its trouble starts. Similarly, when we forget our identity with God, when we feel that we are these limited, mortal, cringing human beings with human limitations, that is when our troubles begin. Somehow Maya delusion causes us to forget that behind us, within us, is that infinite power of God, that we can never, never be apart from God anytime. God is our strength, God is our wisdom, God is our love. And especially when we make mistakes, when we fall on the spiritual path, we feel even more isolated from God. We feel God does not love us, God is far away. How can God love someone with such limitations and weaknesses? On the contrary, those are the times when we need to reassert our oneness with God. Because we can never be apart from God. And when we realize that we are all the time being inspired, guided, loved by God, that is when life becomes a great joy. Guruji says, link every state of the mind with God. It is only when the wave separates itself from the ocean that it feels isolated and lost. Think constantly of your connection with eternal life, and you shall know your identity with the Supreme Eternal One. Think constantly of your connection with eternal life, and you shall know your identity with the Supreme Eternal One. So, what is the best way to cultivate our awareness of our oneness with God? Meditation. Because in true meditation, we drop the consciousness of the body and our human limitations and gradually start identifying ourselves with our true nature, the soul, a spark of the infinite. Gurudeva goes on to say, through meditation, you discover your real self and you discard your imagined or assumed self. You have long been in a state of spiritual ignorance, thinking that you are a mortal, subject to limitations, failure, and suffering. Meditation makes you aware of your true self. You are made in the image of God. You have unlimited power. All you have to do is cultivate this power. Do we believe that? You have unlimited power. Not tomorrow, not day after, now. You have unlimited power. All you have to do is cultivate this power. You have all seen a magnifying glass, right? That you use to read small text or find things. Have you ever tried to start a fire with the magnifying glass? Some of you are nodding your heads. You know, if you take a piece of paper like this and you go and stand in the sunshine and leave the paper out there, what will happen? Not much. Maybe the paper will get a little warm if the sun is strong. But if you hold this magnifying glass between the sun and the paper at the right distance, what's going to happen? The rays of the sun falling through the magnifying glass will concentrate onto one point and it'll burn a hole right through the paper. It's an amazing illustration of the power of concentration. Meditation is a tool that we can use to concentrate our diffused mind into one point and to achieve the highest goal of life, oneness with God. You know, it was a funny thing. I was outside in the green room before I came onto the stage, and one of the stage managers who was assisting me, he saw me carrying this magnifying glass with my notes, and very kindly said, "Swamiji, maybe you should print your notes in larger format so you don't have to use the magnifying glass." I said, "No, I'm using it for a different purpose." So what is meditation? Someone very clearly said, meditation is not what you think. Meditation is not what you think. Because in meditation, we are trying to shut off our thought processes. But Guruji defines it best. He says, meditation is the science of God realization. It is the most practical science in the world. Most people would want to meditate if they understood its value and experienced its beneficial effects. The ultimate object of meditation is to attain conscious awareness of God and of the soul's eternal oneness with Him. What achievement could be more purposeful and useful than to harness limited human faculties to the omnipresence and omnipotence of the Creator? God realization bestows on the meditator the blessings of the Lord's peace, love, joy, power, and wisdom. Guruji has given us in the YSS SRF lessons techniques, scientific techniques of meditation, and the How to Live teachings, as we have all been learning during this week of Sangam, so that we can free our minds from restless thoughts and gradually become more and more aware of our souls, of our unity with God. Guruji says, meditation utilizes concentration in its highest form. Concentration consists in freeing the attention from distractions and in focusing it on any thought in which one may be interested. Meditation is that special form of concentration in which the attention has been liberated from restlessness and is focused on God. Meditation, therefore, is concentration used to know God. Meditation is concentration used to know God. Wanted to talk a little bit about becoming receptive to God's blessings and grace in meditation. God's blessings are pouring, just like the sunlight, equally on everyone. Guruji says, God is not partial to his great saints. It is just that the great saints and sages have become more receptive, more open to receiving his blessings. Wanted to give you a little analogy. Close your eyes for a minute and I'll give you a visualization. Think that you are sitting in a room, inside a room, with a large glass window, large window. Outside the window, there is bright, beautiful sunshine. And overlooking this room is a beautiful park with green, lush lawn, flowers, and children playing on the lawn. Visualize that for a second in your mind's eye. Now open your eyes. Now say that this window that is in this room is covered with dust. What happens? Well, two things happen. One is the sunlight that is coming inside the room is diffused. It's not as strong. It becomes weak. And second, your view of the park outside is blurred, isn't it? You can't see very clearly. Now, if this layer of dust is very thick, maybe for years someone has not cleaned that window, and there's a thick crust of dirt and dust on this window, what happens? Very little of that sunlight, if any, comes in, and your view of the outside world is completely blocked. But what if I take a piece of cloth and try to clean this window? I spend some time, 15 minutes, cleaning this window, but because the crust is very thick, I can't clean it completely. But after 15 minutes, I've made some progress. Now more of the sunlight is coming in, more visibility to this beautiful park that's outside. The next day, I come and clean it a little bit more. More sunlight comes in, more clarity of vision. Day by day, I come and clean this window. And eventually, after many days of work, the window becomes absolutely clean. And all of the sunlight comes in, and finally, I can see the world as it is. You see, that's exactly what is happening in meditation. For most people, our consciousness is like that glass window that has been covered by the dust of ignorance, bad habits, moods, karma, etc. And meditation is that process through which we gradually start cleaning the window of consciousness, cleaning the dirt, the dust that has accumulated over years, maybe incarnations of ignorance. And gradually, little by little, through conscientious, regular, steadfast practice of meditation and the How to Live teachings, we eventually get that glass completely clean and we become fully open and receptive to God and Guru's blessings and grace. You see, so God's blessing is falling on each one of us right now, but are we open? Are we open? Through meditation, we gradually open ourselves up to His love and grace and blessings. Next point I would like to talk about is regularity in the practice of meditation. Vital. Vital. Guruji says that we should practice meditation twice a day to the best of our ability, if circumstances allow. Even if it is short, it is better to practice twice a day, morning and evening, rather than one long period once a day and not at all the other time. Practice, because by practicing regularly, we are training our brains, we are creating new habit patterns, where after some time you don't even have to think about wanting to meditate, you just sit, because it's become a habit. So you want to cultivate the habit of meditating regularly. Just as we don't compromise with our sleep, our eating, we have to come to that understanding that meditation is equally, if not more important than sleeping and eating. Guruji says, meditation opens wide all the closed doors of your body, mind and soul to admit the surge of God's power. Just like we were talking about that window. Your whole body and entire being changes when you practice meditation regularly. When you really contact God, all things become harmonious. All things melt into an ocean of peace. But you have to practice meditation earnestly, consistently, and continually in order to have the full consciousness of that supreme force. Earnestly, consistently, and continually. You know, sometimes after being on the spiritual path for some time, maybe years, decades, we may feel like we are not making any progress. That's a delusion. Because Guruji says, effort is progress. Effort is progress. If we are sincere in our practice, we are progressing. We may not realize it, because spiritual progress is very subtle. It's happening in a very internal state. It is not something that can be easily measured. So there is progress, and it maybe it's a good thing that we are not aware of our progress. Can you imagine if you become aware of your progress regularly? We'll become all puffed up and proud, right? And spiritual pride is one of the greatest pitfalls on the spiritual path. We want to stay humble. So not realizing our progress is actually a good thing, because it makes us stay humble and open and wanting to do more. A true devotee always feels that he or she is not doing enough. That's a good thing. We should always feel that. If we are feeling that we are doing very well and doing everything we can, I would be very suspicious. We always want to feel that we can do more, because God is infinite. No matter how much we do, it's going to be less. And that feeling of not doing enough keeps us motivated to do more. And as Lahari Mahashaya, our Paramparam Guru, said, Banat Banat Banjai. Striving, striving, behold one day the divine goal. Guruji said, day by day, as you learn to meditate, a new awakening will come. A new living relationship with God will be established. The mist of silence and mystery which hangs over everything will slowly vanish before the dawning light of your mental and devotional search for God. Isn't it true? I think before we came on the spiritual path, Life was such a mystery, right? We didn't know what the purpose was, why we were here, what is the reason God created this creation, what is my mission in life. Everything is a mystery. But once we come to the spiritual path and follow a Sadguru like a Paramahansa Yoganandaji, then like he says, the mystery, the mist of silence and mystery which hangs over everything will slowly vanish before the dawning light of your mental and devotional search for God. Now, what is unique about the YSS SRF teachings brought by Gurudev are the step-by-step scientific techniques of meditation that guide us on a daily basis of what we need to do to progress spiritually, to eventually attain our goal of oneness with God. In the lessons, we find some of the highest techniques of meditation ever given to mankind. The energization exercises, the Hong Sao technique of concentration, the Om technique of meditation that we have all learned this week, and the Kriya Yoga technique for those of us who have it. These are highly advanced techniques that we should never take for granted. In the dark ages, hundreds, thousands of years ago, seekers would have to search for years, maybe incarnations, to get one little nugget of a meditation technique. And here, we are being offered the highest pranayama techniques on a platter, delivered to us at our homes. It cannot be easier. So let us never take it for granted. Value them. Value them. Because the whole world, billions of people are wandering in aimlessness. And here we are, we have the highest techniques of concentration and meditation. But scientific techniques is only one part of the equation. The other part is devotion. Guruji says that meditation must be practiced with devotion. It's not just a science. It is a science and an art. Guruji said that Kriya Yoga plus devotion, it works like mathematics. It cannot fail. Kriya Yoga plus devotion. And by Kriya Yoga, he meant the entire teachings, not that specific technique necessarily. The whole package. Guruji said, remember, meditation must be practiced with devotion, with love for God. Love for God means craving for God. The magnetic attraction of love he cannot resist. Meditation techniques help kindle in you the divine craving that will take you to the heights of realization and God bliss. Now, the SRF and YSS lessons contain some auxiliary techniques as well. Many of them, dozens of them, in addition to the basic techniques which Guruji wants us to practice regularly. The basic techniques of energization, Hong Sao, Om and Kriya. We need to practice twice a day to the best of our ability. Now there are other auxiliary techniques that he gives in the lessons, like visualizations, affirmations and so forth, that we can practice when we have some extra time in our schedule or if we have a specific need in our lives. We can practice those. And now with the new YSS SRF app, digital app, you can search very easily across all of the lessons. So if you remember a keyword about a technique that you want to practice, you can just search very quickly and find it. And we will practice one or two of these auxiliary techniques at the end of our talk today. Last but not least, meditation must be a practical thing in our life. When we sit to meditate and we practice the techniques, we practice our devotions, we feel peace, we feel a sense of security, joy, happiness, perhaps It cannot end there. We have to carry the after effects of meditation into our daily lives, into our real lives when we start working with people, interacting with people in different situations in our daily lives. That is where we prove our mettle. We can be all blissed out and peaceful in meditation, but the moment we get up and we enter into a fight with our husband or wife or friend, that meditation is not very valuable. We have to hold on to our peace. So during our day-to-day activities, every now and then try to recall in your mind, in your heart, what you felt in your meditation that day or any other day in your life. Try to consciously bring back that feeling of contentment, security, peace, love and joy into that moment in your activity. And how do we do that? Every now and then, in your busy life, you pause for just a few seconds. You don't even have to close your eyes. You can be talking to somebody at that moment. But just inside, take your consciousness here. If you're able to close your eyes, wonderful. Take your consciousness here and you say, I do this for God and Guru. I offer my action to God and Guru. You are with me. You're guiding me. You're blessing me. You're loving me. That is how we spiritualize activity. And the more we can do that, every hour, every 2 hours, bring your mind back just for an instant. It takes 4 or 5 seconds, 10 seconds at the most. You'll see your consciousness will completely change and you will function at a whole different level. So to summarize the main points that we covered today, number one, we cannot find permanent happiness, security, peace, love and joy in outer things of this world, in money, possessions, position, power, name, fame. They are powerless to grant us that permanent inner security, wisdom, happiness, joy. We have to seek those things within us. By reawakening our awareness of oneness with God. Point two, meditation is the best method for tapping into that inner source of strength and wisdom. Because in meditation, we at least temporarily drop identification with our body, our mortal consciousness, and try to remember, reawaken our oneness with God. Point number three is regularity in the practice of the meditation techniques and the science and art of meditation is vital for spiritual progress. Like we talked about that glass, the dusty glass, through regular, conscientious practice of meditation, we gradually clean our consciousness to make it ready for God's blessings and grace. Four, scientific techniques of meditation must be combined with love, with devotion for God. Techniques plus devotion works like mathematics, it cannot fail. Five, we can practice the auxiliary techniques in the lessons when we have some extra time or we have a specific need. Use them, they're very powerful as well. And lastly, equally important as meditation is to consciously bring back into our daily activities these peaceful after effects of meditation. And to remember our eternal connection with God, even in the midst of our busyness in our daily lives. So in closing, I would like to read to you a quote from our Gurudev. Please close your eyes and listen to his words. Guruji said, constantly cultivate the soul's immortal power by meditation and God contact, and use that power in all difficulties. If you persevere, a time comes when you find that the assurance and protection of God's power never leaves you. Om. Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. That concludes our talk. Like I said in the beginning, we will spend the remaining 15 minutes or so in a little practice of some of the things we have discussed. So please sit in the meditation posture. Spine erect, shoulders back, neck in line with the spine, chin parallel to the floor. If you're sitting on a chair, make sure your feet are flat on the floor. Keep your body relaxed. Gently close your eyes or keep them half open and raise your gaze gently and keep your consciousness at the point between the eyebrows, the Kuthastha Chaitanya Center, Christ consciousness in the body. Take a deep breath. Hold and tense your body. Double exhale and relax. And with each double exhalation, feel that you're letting go of all cares, problems, troubles of the world. Inhale again. Hold and tense. Inhale. Hold, tense. Relax the body. Scan the body from foot to head. See if there's any tension in any body part. And if so, consciously relax that body part by gently tensing and relaxing it. Legs, your feet, calves and thighs, abdomen, chest, back, palms, arms, forearm, upper arm, shoulder, neck, throat, face, mouth, forehead, scalp. Relaxed, peaceful, present. Now let's do the 20-20-20 breathing exercise. We do it 3 or 4 times. I'll do the count so we can do it together. Inhale. Hold. Exhale. Inhale. Hold. Exhale. Inhale. Hold, exhale. Just enjoy the peace for a moment. Now practice the Hong Sao technique for just a couple of minutes to calm the mind. You can practice now. Mind wanders, bring it back to the practice of Hong Sao. Now exhale your breath and stay without breath as long as you comfortably can. When you need to breathe, just breathe. Now we will practice an affirmation. I will say it once all the way through, and then we will repeat it together. So the affirmation is, peace fills my body, peace fills my heart, and dwells within my love. Peace within, peace without, peace everywhere. God is peace, I am His child. I am peace, God and I are one. So please repeat after me and feel what we are saying. Believe what we are saying. Peace fills my body. Peace fills my heart and dwells within my love. Peace within, peace without, peace everywhere. God is peace. I am His child. I am peace. God and I are one. Peace fills my body. Peace fills my mind. Peace fills my heart and dwells within my love. Peace within, peace without, peace everywhere. God is peace. I am His child. I am peace. God and I are one. Peace fills my body. Peace fills my heart and dwells within my love. Peace within, peace without, peace everywhere. God is peace. I am His child. I am peace. God and I are one. Peace fills my body. Peace fills my heart and dwells within my love. Peace within, peace without, peace everywhere. God is peace. I am His child. I am peace. God and I are one. Peace fills my body. Peace fills my heart and dwells within my love. Peace within, peace without, peace everywhere. God is peace. I am His child. I am peace. God and I are one. Peace fills my body. Peace fills my heart and dwells within my love. Peace within, peace without, peace everywhere. God is peace. I am His child. I am peace. God and I are one. Peace fills my body. Peace fills my heart and dwells within my love. Peace within, peace without, peace everywhere. God is peace. I am His child. I am peace. God and I are one. God is peace. I am His child. I am peace. God and I are one. God is peace. I am His child. I am peace. God and I are one. 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 Now, in these remaining last few minutes, we will have a devotional practice like our revered Swami Chidananji reminded us in his opening class and meditation also, that we can make a deeper connection with each of our Param Gurus and Gurudev at the end of our meditation. A very simple way to do that is to visualize each one in turn at the spiritual eye. Visualize their form. Whatever form of the Gurus are near to you, and mentally say their name. So I will guide you in this practice. We will start with Bhagwan Krishna. Keep your eyes closed, and in your kutasth, in your spiritual eye, visualize the form of Bhagwan Krishna, loving you, blessing you, and mentally say, Om Krishna, Om Krishna, Om Krishna, Om. Now visualize Jesus Christ at your spiritual eye, and with all the love of your heart, mentally repeat, Om Christ, Om Christ, Om Christ, Om. Visualize Mahavatar Babaji in your spiritual eye. And with great devotion, mentally repeat, Om Babaji, Om Babaji, Om Babaji, Om. Visualize Lahari Mahashay in your spiritual eye. And with devotion, repeat mentally, Om Lahari Mahashay, Om Lahari Mahashay, Om Lahari Mahashay, Om. Visualize Swami Sri Yukteswarji in the kutasth. Feel his love and wisdom, and mentally repeat, Om Sri Yukteswar, Om Sri Yukteswar, Om Sri Yukteswar, Om. Visualize Gurudev, our Premavatar Paramahansa Yogananji in the spiritual eye, feeling his love and care for you, mentally repeat, Om Guru, Om Guru, Om Guru, Om. Om Krishna, Om Krishna, Om Krishna, Om. Om Christ, Om Christ, Om Christ, Om. Om Babaji, Om Babaji, Om Babaji, Om. Om Lahari Mahashay, Om Lahari Mahashay, Om Lahari Mahashay, Om. Om Sri Yukteswar, Om Sri Yukteswar, Om Sri Yukteswar, Om. Om Guru, Om Guru, Om Guru, Om. Om Guru, Om Guru, Om Guru, Om. शांति शांति शांति।